Wild Orgasmic Wisdom podcast, where we explore the unified field of ecstatic genius underlying our everyday realities. I'm your host and quantum priestess, Kimberly Baudet, and I'm here with a good friend of mine and a amazing pussy-based business coach, Julia Motherfucking Wells. Hello, Julia.
Hi, what an intro. Thank you.
So I've been really excited to just get you on the show and to get you to talk a little bit about the concept of pussy-based business, especially for someone just who has no idea what that even means.
Cool. Okay, let's dive in.
Yay.
Okay, so I think the first helpful thing, we'll kind of break this down a little bit of like what is pussy and then what is pussy-based business. So just when I talk about pussy, it's both like the physical havingness of a pussy and what that can look like. So the like sensations you might have in your body, the access to pleasure that you have through pussy being all the like female identifying anatomical parts, generally speaking. That's not always the case. Some people identify as a pussy haver without having the anatomical pieces, right? So all that to say, it's like pussy incorporates and encompasses the physical, the divine, like spiritual access that you can have through pussy. And it's so many different things. It's like our intuition, our highest self can live there. And some people don't identify all of that as pussy, but I do. And either way, it's like that if you identify as a pussy haver, again, whether that's like on your body or energetically, you have access to like this whole amazing world of power and pleasure that most women are not taught to tap into. So that's just like in life in general of how much pleasure is available to us. I mean, you can even think about the fact that like this is where life comes from, and then it's like, wait, shit, if that's something that a woman has, what else can we do with that and that energy and that power? So for me, what I really realized was, and I think a lot of people call it like the feminine way of doing business versus the masculine of like pushing really hard and forcing things and just like hustling till you're dead. And so for me, pussy-based is that more feminine way, but there's still like that strength and that power of like showing the fuck up and standing in your truth, but also not having to do things the same way that men typically have done them or have taught to do business in the patriarchy. So I'm really into like using pleasure as a way to build your business and make money. And the like source of that is through pussy. So let's start there. Does that make sense?
Yum. To you? Yes.
Do you want to break this down further?
What I'd like to hear a little bit about, because I know some women probably look at, you know, other successful women and they're just starting on their path and they're like, oh my God, I want that. Mm-hmm. Like, how do I start? What was your transformation like? Can you share with us a little bit about your personal transformation?
Yeah, totally. So I even like got into this. I was just one day sitting in the car. And I think I had been like driving in silence, which I never do. And then maybe turn on a podcast. And I was listening to it and I got like the clearest download I feel like I've ever gotten of just this voice being like, you have to bring like sex and sexuality into your business and marketing coaching, Julia. And I was like, why? What even is that? And it just felt like it was like that one of those like things where you're like, oh, this is like what I'm supposed to do in life. I can't really say no to this, but let's see what that even means. So I started talking to some friends and just about it and started following those kind of breadcrumbs of like, okay, what is this? And did the same training you did of like sex, love, and relationship coach training to kind of like get some, I don't even know, like languaging education around what that even means. Because I was like, at that point I didn't identify, I wasn't running around yelling pussy this and like pussy based business. And so I was like, what? Okay. Like, let's figure out what does that even mean to like explore your sexuality, to tap into pussy, like all of these things were like not language I had necessarily. I understood like vague concepts, but probably not from the most empowered health place either, just like mainstream media's version of like a sexually empowered woman, which is so different. Because we're kind of taught to just like do it like men, just like every other area of life. It's like do sexuality like men, like fuck whoever you want and don't care and don't count, do it like whatever. And it's like, what? This doesn't make some sense. But yeah, so I think at the beginning, and even still, I think like because of your question, I think there's like this overwhelm that can come as well when you're like, oh, okay, like, yeah, they must be doing like all kinds of sex magic. And like, there's these hardcore, like, I don't even know what they're doing with their pussies over there. Like, I couldn't do that. And one thing that's really been important to me is to make this really accessible and not overly complicated. And so while I think there's like a lot of phenomenal stuff happening out there, the way that I'm teaching like the pleasure and the pussy based business and how to even turn your pussy on is like the very basics, because most of us were never even given that of like, have you ever looked at her in the mirror? Have you ever spoken to her? Like, do you even slow down to get into your body or pleasure every day? Or is this like something that alone would be revolutionary? And for most of us, it is. Like, even I find like for myself with having all these advanced practices, like they're cool. But if I don't spend like those little day-to-day moments cultivating these things and like connecting to my body, because that's like the biggest thing, right? Most of us live like neck up, thinking, analyzing, planning, all of those things when really we want to come into our body. And so I always say, like, I just talk about pleasure hacking of like, it's really for me just stimulating all or any of your five senses. So like, and the more you can slow down and do that, the better, right? So in any moment of any day, can you just like pause, and you can be listening right now and look around and like see something that you otherwise weren't really noticing in the room, or take a deep breath and feel the breath, or see what you smell, and all of those things. You could just like stroke your hand across your arm or whatever. But all of those things are like, those are the most basic concepts. They sound way too easy, but stuff like that is like the first step of how to even approach like a pussy-based business or someone who lives in pleasure or a lot of these things that we're talking about today. So if you're like, yeah, I could never do that, it's like, yes, you can. It can actually be really easy and accessible.
Yeah, start simple. I love that.
Yeah.
And I love how much accessibility you bring to your work. It feels, when I feel your transmission, it feels so effortless and authentic, and you give so much permission, like to yourself and to everybody that you coach, like everybody who's in your programs. Aww. And it's so freeing. Like, it just feels so good. Were you always a little bit like that, or did you really have to work to like kind of master this mindset?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think definitely like by nature, I am a bit of a wild child, and I'm always like, I think like the maybe less healthy side of it was like as a child, like egging my friends to do like bad shit or like cause a little bit of trouble and chaos. But I was always just like encouraging people to like play and to be self-expressed, but it didn't always like come out in the best ways. And then I think the more and more I got kind of conditioned, especially thinking back like middle school, high school, of like, oh no, I'm just going to like try to be cool and figure this thing the fuck out instead of being like, my goal is to be wildly self-expressed and I don't care what happens. And then also I feel like a huge thing that kind of like fucked me up, I moved to the South after, so I grew up in Massachusetts, born and raised, and I like traveled a lot and all kinds of things. And then for some reason, well, whatever, because Julie loves to be uncomfortable and do new things, I decided to go to college, university in rural Georgia. And it was just like such a culture shock that I felt like I like just squashed my voice so much there. I was like, you know, people are like, oh my God, you're like our only Democrat friend. And like, you're our hippie friend and you're this. And I'm like, I don't want to be this. I don't want to have to say anything. But it really did like fuck with my confidence and my ability to kind of like do my own thing. There's a lot of just like extra emphasis on how a woman should act and behave and certain facets of the patriarchy that are more alive and well there than other places. I was like, ugh. So yeah, I think like my mid-20s, I really wobbled on that. And in starting my own business, that's what's had me come back to being like, oh, wait a second. This is really important to me. I'm willing to like be uncomfortable and say the things that I need to say to go first, to like model what that looks like, to choose yourself or to choose pleasure or whatever you want, like even when other people aren't necessarily supporting or encouraging or understanding it. But it's still hard. Like I still find a lot of times in my business, I'm like, oh my God, am I really saying this? Am I really doing this? And my commitment to myself is kind of like, if I say that, then it's like, yes, you're doing this. But it's still uncomfortable all the time. Like I don't think it's just like a natural thing. I think maybe my level of what I've like gotten used to might to other people be above like what their level is, but I still have like a comfort threshold for sure.
Sure. Yeah. Like there's always a new normal. You like for sure. Kind of like taking it up a notch and then there's another edge to play with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I really admire that about you. I think that, yeah, you're a great teacher of like going up against that edge and doing it anyway and being fearless. And that's where all the juice comes. Like the magic seems to happen.
Yeah. It's like how our friendship started. I didn't know him at all.
So yeah. Can you share that story? I would love to share that story with the listeners.
So we both took this sex, love, and relationship coach training. And I was we're in different years. You are a year ahead of me. Right. And one of our friends like coordinated this pussy mansion. So basically she rented a villa in Greece and she's like, hey, you can come like any of these set dates. So Kim came before I was there. And then I was there afterwards. So we never actually met. Right.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting in Pussy Mansion. I was like, okay, guys, I'm going back to Paris for a little while after this. I just started my digital nomad life and I had no plans. And so I'm like trying to figure out what I'm doing. I'm like, do we know any people from the class that are there? Like who's in Paris? And they're like, oh, Cam, like reach out to her. She lives somewhere around there. Like we don't even know. I'm like, okay, whatever. So I messaged Kim. She's like, yeah, like I live, I don't know, like an hour and some change outside of Paris by the train. Like you could come stay with me. And I like basically live by a castle. I'm like, oh, okay. Don't know you. That sounds really fun. And this just speaks to like, again, I've built this muscle up to like such a, I don't even know what kind of level to call it, but of like, I just meet people randomly or get connected to cool opportunities traveling and I go do it. And I've seen that it like, it's okay and safe to do that, which most people would be like, what in the actual hell, Julia, you're going with a stranger. Okay. But yeah. And so then I just like came and stayed with you for the week and we had such a good time. Like exploring the area and getting to know each other and talking about all these kinds of things. And yeah, I just think it was one of those like pussy things too, right? Of like just to randomly ask. And then someone that happened to be in the house in Greece was like, oh yeah, do you know Kim? Because not everyone there did, right? And not everyone was sitting there for the conversation. So it's just like a little pussy connection. Oh, you need to make this.
Yeah, that was such a blessing. I think that somehow I'd already started seeing some of your posts on Facebook and I was like, oh, she seems cool. Like I like her mindset. I like how she talks about sexuality and stuff. And then it was the universe was just like, here you go. Julie's just gonna come hang out for a week and you can go to the spa.
We met in one of the train stations, right? We met in
Paris. Maybe it was Montparnasse. It might have been Montparnasse.
Yeah, and wrote back. Yeah, because I remember seeing you and you were on the escalator and you have an away bag. You had like your pink hair, your nose ring. And I was just like, this is a cool ass French girl if she's even French, but she must be American. She has an away bag. And then we're like running in circles looking for each other in this giant train station. And then she's like, oh, I'm wearing this. And I was like, I already fucking saw you. I knew it was you. But I couldn't see your face that whole time because you were just like ahead of me on the escalator.
That's so great. Yeah, that was such a great week. Yeah.
I just sent somebody the we like went by someone's house and they had a little baguette delivery system. Oh. And I was reading that for you guys for the lockdown right now, because it's, we're recording this in Corona times, that like baguette factories are still alive and well, and the French are definitely getting their baguettes. And I was just thinking of like that one little house that had the delivery bag, but now everybody probably has like a bag outside and they just like drive by every morning.
Yeah. Yeah. The French take their baguettes real seriously.
Touch-free. Touch-free breading.
Touch-free breading. Yeah. Our bakery is still alive and well. And I think the French would riot if they didn't have
their baguettes. It'd be game over. They'd be like, I don't care. Give me Corona. I need my baguette.
So I'm also really, really interested, and I'm thinking of signing up for the decolonizing manifestation class that you're doing, and it might actually already be underway. I'm not quite sure.
We started the live round, but we can okay. see. But it'll be something that like you, yeah, it's a product I created with my friend, Wheezy. For people listening, they're like, "What is this?" So it's basically yes. a 30-day course in manifesting and as the name suggests, decolonized manifesting. So the idea that you can still apply all of these spiritual principles and the ideas of manifesting, and live in a world where there are systems and structures of oppression that are very real and happening, like sexism, racism, all kinds of isms, all the things, not all isms. Because a lot of like spiritual teachings that we saw were kind of bypassing that. And they're like, yeah, but that's like racism's made up, like, or you manifested that happening to you. And we're like, that's very harmful. Thank you. But no, that's not how that works. And so, yeah, my friend and I created a course on that to just, one, share the tool of manifesting because it's been really powerful for both of us, but to do it in a way that was more aligned with our values than what we were seeing out there. So it'll be something, I mean, if you're listening, people can buy it. It will just be a self-study program versus we're running the first round live so we can get feedback and ask questions and just hang out with all the people doing it. So, but yeah, I'm happy to talk about it, answer any questions.
Yeah. So it's true that the concept of manifestation and like certain mindset that's really common in the spiritual community, such as like, you created this reality, like mm-hmm. you're always creating your reality, which is a really helpful belief to have in many respects because it's empowering.
Right. Until it's not.
Until it's not. Until it's problematic and you're like, fuck you. You know, fuck you, spiritual white women or whatever.
Exactly. And all your whitewash. Of course you can like... just on the white spiritual people that have whitewashed it and don't take into account privilege and all the other things at play.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So can we just focus in a little bit on the concept of where that boundary is between like harmful mindset and helpful mindset and how we can start to break this down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think one of the things that like, we talk about a lot in the course and that we're like already seeing coming up as people are starting it, is just the idea of like the duality of both things being true, right? And so, and that's where what I think is missing in a lot of things is like even the space and the permission to have both be happening, right? So both, you like, you can celebrate the good things that you've created in your life, you can own them, and you can also own the privilege and the help that you had getting there and the way that the world might be set up for you. You can also hold that it's really fucking unfair and it's shitty that that's not true for everybody, right? So there's always like a bothness of like, you can manifest and you can have the things and you can celebrate the things and you can acknowledge what helped get you there and you can acknowledge what's at play that's like also very shitty. And yeah. Yeah, that's a hard thing to hold both and to also hold those beliefs of like, this is helpful when it's empowering and helpful. And then it's also like, you know, you have to be able to watch and see that line when people start to go into like victim blaming or not taking ownership. And so that's something we're trying to like give people more permission again, right? That word that we talked about before of like, basically, if you're going to believe in this system, you have to also acknowledge that like privilege is real, that certain people are like, we'll call it like are further up on the food chain. They're just starting a few steps ahead or many steps ahead of other folks. And then there's people that have marginalized identities and also are like disenfranchised and don't have the same access as say like a white male will, regardless of what wealth class he was brought up in our world. Right. And so it's like, we've kind of been able to avoid the privilege thing by being like, oh, but like, I just got lucky or whatever. Or even if we learn how to manifest, it's like, well, I can't really share this and be happy because either I think people swing one way or the other. They either like take way too much credit for it and don't acknowledge the systems at play and their privilege and like how that got them there. Or they swing to like, this was total luck. Like anyone can do this, but not acknowledge the fact that like, there is a different experience for other people that are living with marginalized identities. The bothness, holding the both.
Yeah, the paradox. Paradox seems to come up a lot in this realm of work.
It's just like how life is. It's like, it's even right now in Corona, right? Of like being grateful that we're healthy, but then feeling heartbroken that like many people are not, and being able to navigate that. And so, and in sexuality, right, there's like pleasure and pain, and there's all like the light and the shadow, all these things, right? And so we're just bringing that conversation into manifesting in a way that we just haven't really seen. That feels, and there's so much more beyond that too, of like creating safer spaces for people to even have these conversations and whatnot. But yeah, we were just excited that it wasn't like a whitewashed ignore your reality.
Yeah. I think that this kind of information is really, really important right now. It feels essential to moving forward, like as a whole, as humanity, and not, you know, separating off into little groups and ignoring that there's other people in the world with other perspectives.
Yeah. And it's like, great. Cause the fact remains that we live in a world where there are, again, like levels of privilege. And the best thing you can do is then use your privilege. Like, no one wants you to feel bad, but we want you to use it, right? So if you're like manifesting all these great things, but then you're like, but I don't like want them, or, you know, something, there's like the guilt associated with it, then you're like giving yourself less and less power to even use your privilege and have that boldness of it, from like my perspective as a white woman. So like, that's part of the conversation that I bring there, is like how to process that guilt of coming from privilege, but then wanting more, especially like if you run your business and you want to grow your business, of like, how do you learn how to feel comfortable having more than enough and more than other people, so that you can go do good things with all of those, whether it's time, energy, money, resources.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, I definitely want it. I'll be contacting you about that. Yeah.
For anyone listening, it's $97. It is money very well spent, even just to like have some awareness around a reframe of this conversation around manifesting.
Yeah, and the value of Julia's programs is really incredible. You know, whether you're doing one-on-one coaching with her, or, you know, really reasonably priced groups where you can get so much, get so much out of it, not have to invest what you don't have. So
yeah, $97.
Yay. So I want to do an experiment with you and we'll see how this goes. Hey. I want to unpack coronavirus a little bit.
Oh God. Okay.
I know. We're going to see how this goes. So I want to unpack the aspect of coronavirus where, you know, obviously there's people who are dying, there's people who are suffering. It's a very real, very scary situation that's happening all over the world right now. And there exists a certain spiritual perspective that is empowering to some, may not be empowering to everybody, which is like, okay, if I co-created this virus, how is that working for me? Like, why would I have done that?
Right. Or like collectively, why are we essentially creating this and needing this? Because if you believe everything happens, it's like that same thing with manifesting, right? Like, believe everything happens for you, not to you. But then how do we also hold the line of like, sometimes that comes with really shitty things happening then essentially, like, right. And so it's saying, like, I think it's taking the parts that feel empowering for us of like, okay, great. So in what ways, not only like, can we, it's not that everything good about what's happening has to then become good or okay, or even a pleasant experience, right? But it's like, I think especially being in the US, we're learning like, oh, look, all of the things that we've kind of been trying to like sweep under the rug or not fully own, like these are more problematic and bigger than we've even been willing to admit on a national, like political everything level. Of course, there's people that are like, we've been saying this. And most of those are, unfortunately, all the marginalized voices. They're like, yeah, healthcare and medical racism and all of the things. And that's happening. So I think it is like, can we look at it? And this can be such an individual thing too, of like, okay, cool. What is this teaching me? What is this teaching the planet? Like, business is never going to be the same that it was before in many ways. And then at the same time, it hasn't changed at all. It's just going to like reformat. And so is like relationships and how we do everything and how we relate. But I think it always shows us, like, I always like to look at things as like, what holes and gaps did it show us existing? And then how do we collectively need to clean that shit up? There's going to be a lot from Corona, unfortunately. And it's going to take a lot of leadership, which also has been questionable in many for a while.
Very kind the way you said that.
What?
Very kind and diplomatic. Very
questionable. Yeah, but I think that, you know, the world was definitely trending one way of, we were seeing a lot of like far right, hateful, divisive, everything just coming to light in even bigger ways than it had for a few decades. And this will disrupt some things. And hopefully we can skew things the other way of coming together versus this being an event that just like further separates and isolates and creates more problems. Yeah.
I think I do think that it does create some impact to be able to visualize like how, if you could have it any way, how would you like this experience to impact the world in a positive way? Like just being able to imagine like, what would that look like? You know, would we have the opportunity to upgrade energy systems, to upgrade to sustainable energy? Like that's my personal fantasy.
Yeah, you're like, everything goes green now. I mean, yeah, ideally some of those things start to happen more and more. I think like, you know, one of the glaring things in the US that we're seeing is like the access to healthcare and how we're probably one of the only countries hit that doesn't have like national fucking healthcare. And just what's going to come from this, right? So being able to see that. I do think like it's a good point too of being able to, just like anything we teach us in manifesting, is like visualizing the outcome that you want of like, and focusing on seeing that more and more, right? So you could focus on how many people are going to die and all the families and the impacts and the businesses and just everything. And we're not saying bypass that, but also like continue to cultivate and hold that vision every day of like, okay, I'm seeing more and more people like leaving the hospitals and they're well and they're home safe with their families and businesses are okay. And like, I think that's where collectively we can also be able to put those things back into the universe of like creating that vision, because mainstream media and politics just aren't going to do that for us. That's where I think if you have like some spiritual practices, that can be a really like beautiful contribution.
I like that. I like the idea of creating a little altar, little plate, little space to manifest.
Yeah. And just hold that outcomes. Like, yeah, we do learn, hopefully we do learn the lessons that we need to learn from this right now. And it's trusting that we will, even if that unfortunately isn't as fast as some of us would like for things like environmental, racial justice, all of the things that desperately need attention and change. Just a little Corona thoughts.
Little Corona unpacking. It's kind of a charged subject. So that's why I wanted to dive into it. Yeah.
Love a good charge subject. Yeah, I mean it's really fucking hard times, and I think it's again that like this is just such a time for all of us to practice duality of like gratitude and despair, of sitting in the unknown, but also knowing that everything you have today is what you have today and being grateful for those things and holding it in your heart for people that are going through something much worse, or the people that still, like, maybe you're enjoying your downtime and slowing down of a lockdown, but you also know that people are out there now having to work harder than ever before to feed their families and take care of themselves or simply survive. So yeah, I think that's our practice, the bothness.
Hi there, Wild Orgasmic Wisdom listeners. I just wanted to take a brief pause from the interview to let you know that if you'd like to support this or future episodes of the Wild Orgasmic Wisdom podcast, you can head on over to anchor.fm/Sirona, S-I-R-O-N-A. You can make a small monthly donation or even leave me a voicemail, which might get included in a future episode of the WOW podcast. Thank you again so much for your support. Let's head back to the interview. Yeah. Yeah. And maybe more opportunities are going to show up for us to be able to help the people that need it. Hopefully. Whatever that looks like, or create these opportunities. Yeah. So I want to talk about your coaching again. What kinds of coaching services do you offer? Like, what's the spectrum of how you work with clients?
A little bit of everything at this point. So I have really high level one-on-one where people get like private calls with me and access to me in between all of that. Basically, it's like you have Julie in your back pocket. But I just, and then from there, it's just a range of like group programs or something like Decolonize Manifesting, where you get like a workbook and some videos and you watch it, and maybe you have a round where I'm in there with you. But everything is basically like different layers and depths of how much Julia you get and how much like private Julia you get, which is a very weird thing to be like, I'm pimping myself out essentially.
You're a commodity.
I am a commodity. How much Julia do you want? Yeah. And so basically I like to, obviously my whole thing is helping women make more money in their businesses and doing that with pleasure. And so that your line of pleasure and profit are consistently increasing and moving together. You are not over hustling just to make money, and you're not in pleasure ignoring your business. So yeah, there's all, like, I'll teach programs. I teach like on one specific subject, maybe that a whole group of people want to learn and go through. And then if you have me like privately on your side, it's like, okay, cool. We just dive into your business and go where we need to go and build the whole thing. And, then I have like a free Facebook group and a free podcast where I say all the things. It's just not like customized, you know, the higher you go in the coaching things that I offer, the more customization you get towards your individual business of like my eyes in it and my hands really in there helping you with it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what have you noticed with the folks that you've worked with? Like, what are some of the transformations people tend to go through? Like, what happens?
On the outside, what it looks like is more pleasure, more profit, right? That's kind of like what we lead with in terms of the like tangible, measurable deliverables to some extent. But really what it looks like is like learning how to trust yourself, learning how to show up for yourself, to feel all the feelings that come with running a business and still take action and not let your emotions dictate how you show up in those things. And so that's like what the work really is. So again, the like deeper the program really is, the more we're going to go do that, right? So in a group program, say there's 100 people, like I can only know people's stuff and go there with them as like, you know, to a less deep level. But it's always building those like deeper skills. And the big thing too, that is like rewiring this idea that business does not have to be hard. You do not have to kill yourself to make money. It's just one way we've been taught to do business. And so I'm very passionate about being like, look, we can actually rewire your brain, rebuild the evidence that that is possible for you. So a lot of clients will come like, you know, maybe they've made like 10 or 20,000 or even more in their business in a month or something. But the way they've done that is like spinning in circles, working 80 hours a week. They're doing way too much by themselves. They're not trusting themselves at all. They're terrified that clients are going to like stop paying them, or that they can't really say what they want to say in their own spaces because, like, you know, then they might scare off a customer or whatever, right? So, well, what we switch is like, okay, great. How do we build this from pleasure where you have like, you're not running around in circles. You end up being able to work part-time, make more money than you've ever made, or even the same. But if you're working less and you're actually enjoying it, like, that's a fucking win. Yeah. So I have a lot of clients that come like at different levels of their business. Some are brand new, have never really had a paying client, and some have been really successful, but a lot of the times they haven't done that with pleasure. So that's where they're hiring me, is like, okay, cool. Let's scale this and do this and make this sustainable with the pleasure side. And so we build that belief system for them. And then we build all the actual structures and systems that need to happen, have them getting into pleasure, doing their things and rewiring their brain, and then seeing the evidence of that. So we can talk like specific people examples if you want.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to hear.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, obviously my clients are anonymous. Some of them people may have seen on the internet talking about it or with permission. But I have a couple podcast episodes too on my podcast, Wait, What the Fuck, of client studies, or like case studies with client files. So, and I'm going to try to be sharing more of these because I think it's really fun to see that, like, what it actually took. And I don't know if you saw this, but I did an interview with my coach of like the real behind the scenes of what it took to build my business. So I basically like was in business for 4 years. We can just use myself right now as the example of that.
Fantastic.
So I was in business for 4 years trying to get a coaching business off the ground. I was really, really struggling. I, you know, like would make money here and there. It was very inconsistent. I was super wobbly in trusting myself, in showing up for my business. Like my fear ran the show all day long. And then I finally decided to shift that and do something about that in a different way than I had before. And in the last, basically, like, I guess we're probably at like 10 months now, my business has done probably $500,000 in sales, right around that mark. And that's a drastic change from where we were at before. Very drastic. Yeah. So I've been sharing like, what were those things that it actually took? And it's much simpler than most people want it to be. We want it to like be some kind of like fancy fix or something you could just like copy paste, apply to any business. But it really is that work of like learning how to let yourself feel good, to believe that like you can have enough, more than enough, that you can get paid really well for doing work that you love in the world and you can do it your way. So I'm trying to think like specific clients, but even just people who like have been in business for years, again, like same kind of situation as me, maybe the opposite, where they were willing to work super, super hard and make the money, but then didn't trust if they stopped working hard that they could have that, or that, and again, this like privilege thing comes up, right? That it wouldn't be fair to have that if it was easy.
Sure.
And so yeah, this is something that's like we have to be working through, of like, it's not fair to have things when other people don't. And then you can't take care of the world if you don't have resources. And that's just how society is currently built, right? So yeah. That was a roundabout way of answering your question. Do you want more specific?
No, that makes a lot. I mean, everything you said makes total sense. And, you know, again, like what you were saying about the duality, like holding the space for, you know, we're not saying it should be that everybody has the same resources off the bat, but at the same time, like, am I helping somebody by having a limited scarcity mindset? Like, am I helping society if I believe that it has to be hard? That I have to work like so hard that my health suffers or whatever. Like, is that helping anybody to believe that?
No, but it feels like it hits on those like core primal things of like the love, safety, and belonging, right? And if our brains will start to make up these stories of like, oh, if I'm doing well and someone's not, I'll lose that love, or I'll lose that safety, or I'll lose that belonging. And then you're like, well, hell no, I'm not jeopardizing basically what feels like a primal need. And it leads us to do some very funky, very human things. They're not bad or wrong, right? They're just usually not as helpful as they could be.
Right. Like, I better stay small so that this person will still like me, because if I become too successful or too whatever, they might reject me and then I'll be out in the cold.
Yeah. And this can go deep, right? It can feel like it's like parent stuff, ancestral stuff of like, a lot of people feel like, you know, they carry like trauma from past lives of being burned at the stake or something as a woman, if they use their voice or speak up or get too like witchy or powerful or all the things, right? All very real shit that has happened. So we have to learn how to constantly be processing those things that tell us like we can't take up space, we can't have money, we can't use our power and influence for good things. And I just don't believe any of that's true. I think we just have to rebuild a new like narrative and model of how people are doing that in a way that's, again, like not harmful, that's mindful of everything that's going on. When you have more money though, or more time and more resources available, there it's easier to give back. I'm not saying like you can't, there's plenty of people that are like very resource poor, quote unquote, that are amazing and they're just like constantly taking care of people, but it's usually at the extent of their health, mental well-being, et cetera, right? And so my thing is just like, let's still be able to take care of our communities and give back, but like, let's do it from a resource position because there's so much fucking resource in the world, especially if we're just talking about money. So why not put it in the hands of people who actually care and are going to do good shit with it?
Yeah. That comes back to the perspective of like, it's great for me to be successful because I want to do amazing things with money.
Yeah. Like that's kind of my belief. And then like, for those of us that hold privilege too, it's like, cool. Can I unpack anywhere where I might be like missing opportunities of how I could use my privilege, how I can even own that as a way of like seeing someone else's experiences and all of that. And they just like go hand in hand. And this is our work to do. So
cool.
Get some money, do good shit with it for everyone listening. I'm very passionate about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get money in the hands of everybody. Let's get resources in the hands of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we want to give it to everybody. And we just know that the way the world's set up right now is that that's not like, there's work to be done for things to equal, so to speak.
Yeah. So you're taking steps, you're doing your part to help to build this new structure. We're in this period of really having to tear things down and rebuild.
Mm-hmm. And I just think like kind of tying in together, like all of the business stuff and Corona stuff is like the core principles of business, but also relationships, like they're not going to change, right? You give value, you show up, it's a two-sided thing. You serve and like you also receive. And so that's not going to change. So in your business, if you're listening and you run a business or you're freaking out or even a relationship, like none of that's going anywhere. If anything, those are the things to double down on is like, how do I give value? How do I be of service to my community, even if that's one person in front of you, and constantly be exchanging things, right? That's not going anywhere. And I think that's kind of grounding in all of the times of Corona. But there's also an opportunity there for us to do that in a deeper way.
Yeah.
And you're seeing it like in sweet ways, like, you know, people delivering groceries to people that can't leave their house right now. It's like, again, we're aware of our privilege in different ways than we've ever been. And now using that, but same principles still apply of like taking care of each other healthfully.
Yeah. So I know that you work mostly with women, exclusively with women.
Pretty exclusively.
Okay. So how does this work actually help men or you know, non-binary folks? Like, how does it affect the rest of the world, even if it's not pussy-based business? Like, what can other people sort of get from this philosophy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's like comes back to when a woman is turned on and is powerfully resourced, she's just going to impact things in an even bigger way than before. And I think like totally like this is accessible to whoever wants it. I mean, my lived experience is having a pussy, identifying as a woman. So I'll be very clear that like, I don't gear my work towards anyone that doesn't identify as a pussy haver because I don't have the tools to serve. There are other people that can do that. But I think there's what I focus on is like the ripple effect of, again, a turned on, well-resourced woman that has pleasure and profit, because that is something that is like so powerful to see. And even with like myself or my clients, you can think about how we show up in the world so much differently when we trust ourselves, when we're speaking our truth, when we're using our privilege for good, when we can like hold that duality of having more than enough, more than other people, and still do good shit with that. And I think like the men around us benefit from seeing a woman that is like, hey, this is me in my full power, and calling them to rise as well. And it's just like thinking, I think about it as like, I think the old saying is like a rising tide lifts all boats or something like that, right? So if one of us rises, we all rise together. And so it's like, this is just the part that for me, pussy having women need to do, and everyone else has their own thing. So yeah, I think that's like the indirect and the direct way that it impacts everybody.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I just want to mention this phenomenon. I know that as also a pussy haver, like when we start to live into our power more fully, and this phenomenon comes up in all kinds of other situations, our energy can come across as like a bit harsh or like violent or aggressive because we're not used to having boundaries, to having a strong container. So it almost feels like we have to overcompensate by being angry or, yeah, just like aggressive with our energy. And
the angry feminist trope.
Right. So I've noticed this subtle, you know, the subtlety of being able to own that power more and more fully so that it's more integrated and it doesn't come across as violent. And kind of layering on top of that, I know that for men, even if the energy isn't violent or aggressive, you know, men can like discharge, you know, they're not used to women in their power. So it can feel like an attack, even if it's not an attack. So yeah, I just wanted to touch on that healing aspect of women becoming more and more empowered and how it affects men, but how it actually like might contribute to a man's healing.
Yeah, and maybe calling him to rise, or you calling, like us being called to see things differently too. Like there's wounded masculine and feminine, and everybody right now has felt the effects of the patriarchy for many, many, many years. Yeah, and I think it just like also of what you're talking about, of like a lot of times when we're doing any work, we can swing the pendulum then to the other side, like you were saying, and just kind of knowing that might be someone's journey of like wildly disempowered to like super empowered, and then like a little maybe like preachy or too much, or that energy is like, I see this a lot too, learning boundaries of like, I might have gone from no boundaries and like totally codependent to like overly boundaried where you just like throw it in someone's face and you're just like, whoa, okay, like that's a no, got it. Right. To like kind of swinging back to that middle of like, oh no, that just like doesn't feel good, but there's no charge around it. And I think that's just like with anything that we're working on individually, collectively, is like, sometimes we have to swing a little bit to that other side of the pendulum to come back to that middle side and to even experience and find that equilibrium.
Yeah, beautiful.
And definitely. Hopefully we don't cause harm in the meantime. And sometimes we do. And then we learn the tools to clean it up and to figure out what we need to do moving forward.
Yeah.
It happens. It definitely happens.
Yeah. And we can move through it, like you said.
Totally. And just trust ourselves to like, find our blind spots and learn and keep coming back to that point of like, okay, cool. What is the vision that I'm holding? And the only way to do that is to actually like play on the field and see what happens. And sometimes we make little messes.
I want to finish up by checking in with you just to ask like, what's alive for you right now? Like, what else do you have to share with us? Like, what's going on with your personal transmission right now?
Great question. I think what feels alive for me right now, I think it's really the boldness of like in everything, of feeling the fear and feeling the good stuff, and how we move through both of those things, all of the things, the many layers here. It's such like a grass is greener time as well right now, where it's like, if you're home alone and single in quarantine, you're like, oh my God, I wish I had a partner. If you had a partner, you might be like, oh my God, I wish I just had some space away from this person. Or if you're making money, you feel guilty. And if you're not making money, you feel shitty. Like there's just like so many things happening, right? And so I think it's remembering of like, this is such a time to come back to like, well, who am I? What do I want? How do I create that vision? And we're constantly refining what that looks like. And so I think that's like a thing to really look at right now for all of us of, if nothing's wrong here, but there are clearly things that aren't working, like, what would those be? And how do I use this period to really shift them and step into a new way of being? And that can be really terrifying. So
yeah, very terrifying and really empowering at the same time.
Yeah, right. And finding that empowering edge to it and sitting with all of the things, because I think right now it's like everything is highlighted for us of like, it feels like it's just, you know, like really real and true right now. But it's probably always been a fear or a doubt or a desire that you've had that you've kind of ignored that now cannot be ignored by with Corona. And so I think, yeah, that's what feels up for me of just, and for me, that like, you know, looked like how I run my business and also like personal relationships and different pieces of my life where I'm like, oh, this is giving me some like major opportunity for refinement and clarity and to really hold that vision in an even bigger way. Yeah, that's what feels up for me.
That was awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. So yeah, where can people find you?
Everywhere. Okay. So I have the most amazing free Facebook group. It is called Visible AF. It is a place to come practice being seen, taking up space, learning how to grow your business and make more money. I have a podcast called Wait, What the Fuck? And it's just WTF. You can search that in all the places where podcasts are. And then come find me on Instagram, Julia Motherfucking Wells. And I'm currently, I don't know when this is going to come out.
Probably a couple weeks from now.
Okay, cool. So I always have some sort of thing that I'm offering, basically. If you're following the Instagram or if you're in that Facebook group, you'll always know how to work with me, what I'm offering. And there's just so much free content in the meantime, too. So come say hi. I like real connections and engagement because that is just how I think humans should interact. So come say hi.
Hell yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Julia, for being on the show. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care. Bye.